Well, good evening, church. Glad you could be with us on a beautiful Sunday evening. Thomas Village Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're in the parking lot and listening on the radio, glad you took the time to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's sing a song of the Lord. Let's stand and sing number 217. Oh, how I love Jesus. 217.
Would you open us up in a word of prayer tonight? Amen. Good evening. It's good to see all of you tonight. So thankful that God has allowed us to come back one more time to be together, and if nothing else, just show a lost and dying world that gathering together in His name still means something on Sunday night. Amen. Tonight we're going to be over in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I grabbed the wrong Bible. So we're going to wing it. But we'll be there in chapter 21. And we'll be looking at the last 6 to 7 verses there in Matthew chapter 21. And just to kindly fill you in where I feel that God has spoken to me this week. But if you're watching by Facebook tonight or you're listening by radio, we want to tell you thank you for being with us. And we want to encourage you to come and be a part of us, be with us. Also, man, didn't the praise team do good this morning? Wonderful, wonderful. Brother Wayne and Sister Sheila, and just thankful for them. And I think we had a sweet, sweet spirit here this morning, even though the topic wasn't very easy to talk about, but praise God. When we're willing, He is able. Amen. Tonight also, in the way of announcements, don't forget that tomorrow night, deacons will be meeting at 6 o'clock in my office. Following service tonight, we'll have a council meeting in the social hall. And don't forget that on Wednesday, we have our midweek service and choir practice at 6 o'clock with services following at 7. Is there any announcement that I may have missed? How about praise report or thanksgiving tonight? Pruning. There's got to be prunings from time to time. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Praise or answered prayer.
Brother Ryan, we've been going over on Wednesday our prayer that we would see some fruit from this. And I don't know if you saw, but the young mother that had the three little kids that were with her this morning,
praise the Lord. It does something when God shows you just what you need to see. If you don't know, Brother Keith has started going over to the nursing home on Sunday mornings. I think it's at 9:30. And he's been teaching Sunday school type service. And the first time he had 10, and this morning he had 12. So praise the Lord that he's carrying that over there. God is still moving. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony? Go ahead. Praise the Lord. We are grateful for that, thankful for that. Maddie's going to be going to UVA Wise this year, so to God be the glory for that. That's a pocketbook praise right here. Hey, I can feel that one back yonder. But also, I mean, more importantly, just want her to be where God wants her and where she can grow, not just in her education, but in her relationship with Christ and her understanding of His purpose and plan, and then follow through by living it out, you know. We give the glory and pray for that. I told Amy I'd take a lot of bruises on the face for for her to be closer to the house, you know. Anyone else tonight? How about prayer needs? Again, we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Do we have any prayer needs tonight?
Howard Gilmore.
Is this your uncle? This is his uncle on his mother's side who's went on to eternity. Continue to pray for Sister Pam Savarsky and Sister Jessie Boo. Yes, ma'am. Amen. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to be eating lunch with Brother Jacob tomorrow. Just to thank you for filling in for me, and we'll do that. And your mama, you know, before, let me put that down. I got called up. Anyone else? we'll do it, sister. Anyone else? Is there going to be like a gather around the school for prayer this year? Anything been planned? I know tonight they're doing it in Lee County. They're gathering and going to pray for them. Anybody else? I do want you to continue to pray for my family. Pray for Mom and Daddy. Both of them seemingly are doing well, you know, and my brothers. And then also, just pray for our church. Pray for our church to be where God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to be doing. As we, the times we live in, I think they're unprecedented. We just, you can't trust anything. It's just we're living in a time. But most importantly, pray for the lost around you. And let's not lose sight of what's most important, and that is being heavenly minded, working on a godly economics, you might say, instead of an earthly economics. We value tangible things. I still don't like buying virtual stuff on the computer. I want the CD in my hand. I want you to give me something when I give you the money. But in heaven, the Bible teaches us that it's a spiritual economy and that souls are of the greatest value. So let's pray about that. We have over 252 names here on this list that we try to lift up at least once a week in that specific purpose just for salvation. Is there any name that we need to add to this tonight? He is. I was over at the Dollar General and just over the mountain there, and I was talking and I heard a lady. She said, "You're the pastor over at Thomas Village," and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, "I've met you before, and you prayed for my husband." And come to find out, it was someone I'd met over in Pennington one evening, and her husband is. Already went through 12 rounds of radiation, and this week he's going to begin another 12 of chemo, and it doesn't look good, but I told her that we would lift her name up, and I don't have it the paper with me, but the Lord knows, and I'm going to get her name there. And but many times what we hear and what we see rob us of our faith and our fight if we're not careful. But if we're committed that Jesus is going to be our most important cause, then His grace is sufficient. Anything else tonight? Brother Paul, you can remain where you're at tonight, but would you lead us in the prayer over these needs and as we begin our service tonight?
Jesus, the one who's done on the cross of Calvary, through his death, burial,
It's Amen. And amen. And they're better than wishes. They're promises from a creator that cannot lie. Isn't that amazing? That's why it's good to know Scripture. And the Lord is speaking to us through His Scripture with those promises, with those comforts. Anyone else tonight just got a burden on your heart? Maybe something that you need to declare how good the Lord has been to you? Don't hold back now. You hear? All right, look over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And really, I'm winging. I did prepare a study guide, but it wasn't going to be too in-depth anyway. Let's pick up over here in Matthew, chapter 21, verse 42. Now, deacons, you're going to recognize this passage from this week, specifically a couple of verses. Notice what it says in 42. Then Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Listen at verse 44 specifically. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall upon, it will be ground into powder. Other translations say that they will be crushed. Those that are willing to throw themselves on the stone, that voluntarily fall on the stone, they'll be broken. But those that the stone falls on will be crushed. If I had a title, it would be Broken or Crushed as we continue to read. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on them, they feared the multitude because they took him as a prophet. May God add the reading to his scripture. This is an amazing chapter here, chapter 21. It begins all the way back in verse 1 with the triumphant entrance of Jesus Christ on the donkey. And as they're riding in, and you know, this is a week before his crucifixion, there was pomp and circumstance, right? I mean, they were throwing palm leaves out. They were shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hallelujah. And that's the entrance he made. And then it goes on after it tells us in verse 11 as we wrap up, the him being the prophet of Galilee is what the multitude said. Then Jesus goes on to the temple. And this is where, beginning in verse 12, this is where Jesus goes in there and with righteous indignation begins to flip over the tables. You can imagine that there's change or coins hitting the floor. There's people running, kind of shocked a little bit. There's probably birds tweeting and animals making noise. And then there's cages flying. And in the midst of it, Jesus declares that it has been written that this place that you're using as a stock house or a money changing place, it's been dedicated to my Father, and my Father's house is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So, and this is his first day in. Now notice, those are two eye-catching things, aren't they? So the topic of what's going on in Jerusalem is probably, it's the Passover feast, but also, hey, Jesus is in town, and he's really causing a stir here. Well, when he gets up the next morning, we pick up there in verse 18, Jesus and his apostles are making their way back to the temple, and on the way to the temple, they pass the fig tree. Jesus sees the fig tree from afar, and it has leaves, and it seems to be flourishing, and he was hungry, and he said he wanted to get a fig off of it. But when he got to it, guess what? There wasn't no figs. And that's where Jesus curses it, and it withers. And they make their way on, and he's teaching them about faith. And then they make their way on, and about verse 23, they make it to the temple. And at the temple, the Pharisees come again, and they challenge him on by what authority did he do all that last night? Who gave you the right to flip over the tables? Who gave you the right to run out the money changers? Where did that come from? And remember, they were always trying to get him to stumble. And Jesus said, okay, I'll answer your question, but I want you to answer me one question before that. John the Baptist, where does his authority come from? Did it come from God or did it come from man? And they would not answer that question because they were scared of what the people might do, because they elevated John the Baptist. And he was Zechariah's son. I mean, he had some religious clout, you might say. And then we see Jesus, he moves, he doesn't tell them, he doesn't answer their question because they didn't answer his. And then we move into verses 28 through verse 32. And that is the parable of the two sons. You know, the one son is told, go do this, and he says, okay, I'm going to go do it. But he doesn't go do it. And the second son is told by the father, go do this, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it, but he goes and does it anyway. And he says, now which one has pleased their father? And we know it's the one who was obedient. It's not in our words, but in our ways that we show that we're children of Christ. Moves on into the parable of the vineyard. We studied these a few months ago. You remember the parable of the vineyard here. And that's that there's the husbandman or the landowner. And he made a vineyard. And it was a fine vineyard. He put a rock gate, guardian, what do you call them? A fence. Amen. Made of stone. That's a good word. Hey, if I could have grabbed it, I would have. He put a tower in it to kind of look out and make sure everything that was going on. He put a wine press in it, and he hired probably what he thought were some good tenants to come in there and to take care of it. And everything seemed to be going well to the time of the harvest. And at the harvest, the landowner sent his servants expecting his fruit, expecting the growth. Well, the tenants looked and said, hey, we're not going to give it to you. And they beat up and killed the servants of the landowner. Well, the landowner said, look, surely something was wrong. He sent it again, and they did the same thing. The third time, the landowner says, I'm going to send my son. And surely they will recognize my son and the authority that he has and will send the fruit with him. Well, they killed the son and said, we can kill him and this will become ours. And that's where we pick up in the phrase, in the passage that I read you just a few minutes ago. Jesus asked him, he says, what do you, in verse 40, he says, what do you think that the landowner's going to do with the tenant farmers? Remember, he's speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which we shall render from the fruits of their season. And Jesus said to them, have you not read in the scriptures, the stone which was rejected by the builders, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of heaven shall be taken from you and given to it. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on the stone will be broken, but on whosoever the stone falls, it will grind him in the pieces. And what we see is that the Pharisees recognize that Jesus is talking about himself and them. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. If you are here Wednesday night, and we were blessed to have Brother Steve Neff, and he kind of gave me an idea on what he was preaching. He gave me the title. He didn't give me the scripture or anything like that. And if you remember, the title was Drifting. Drifting. And he had told me about how sometimes crash and we lose. And as he was telling me about what he was going to preach, and my mind went a complete different direction, because it's where the Lord had me. You know, sometimes, like we said this morning, we are called to be the quote-unquote loser. And this scripture came to mind. The idea of being broken. The idea of being crushed. My mind couldn't go back to Jeremiah. And I think it's Jeremiah and the potter. And you remember that the potter would have to take and he would break the pots. But we're told that he has the right to do that because he is the potter. And he won't leave us just broken vessels. But he'll take us and he'll pick us up. And he'll mold and fashion us into the vessel he desires to fulfill the purpose he desires. And I got to thinking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. All of us want to be successful. All of us, I remember being in Bible college and we were all going to be the next Billy Graham. We were all going to be the next Charles Stanley. The great evangelist. Nobody ever wants to say, Lord, let me fall on my face and lose for you. But you think about all the great men in the Bible, all men. Jonah, what happened? Did he have to be broken before God could use him? He had to be thrown out and caught in the belly of a whale. What about Moses? Moses had to spend 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. Jesus himself looked like the loser when they took him off the cross. John the Baptist, it was at so much of a point in his life where he was questioning, are you the one or is there another one coming? And this is John the Baptist. That Jesus said, there's none greater than him. But you know what? I don't think God is going to call all of us to lose. But are we willing to? Are we willing to be broken? If that's what God said, if that's what was the thing that was holding us back, was that I needed to fall on my face and be broken? Or have we said, I'm not going to do that? If God told you to come up here and do 20 push-ups, would you be willing to come and do 20 push-ups? You know, what I'm saying is just, we want revival. But I told the deacons, I said, do I need to be broken first? What does it mean to be broken? I'm not sure. I know it doesn't sound great, right? But it does sound better than being crushed. Because crushed, broken. It says, those who are willing to fall. Think about that. What are we falling on? If we'll say, Lord, just right now, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of all of it. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'm just going to fall on you. And you do with me what you want to do. We're falling into the nail-scarred hands. The hands, and if we said, Lord, make me who you want me to be, we're the hands of the potter. And he will remold, rebuild, revive, resurrect the joy of the Lord within us. The plans and the purpose. When we say, Lord, I don't care anymore about what I want or my ways. I'm saying right now, let it be your way. And he'll raise us up into what he would have us to be and not what we think we ought to be. So, and again, did I remind you that we're having an experiencing God class, and I think it will really help you to see and have the fulfillment of the joy of the Lord in your life? But when's the last time that you've just said, Lord, I give it over to you. I give this situation. I give my worry. I give my heartache. All that it is. Lord, if it means for me to be broken, then show me what broken is. See, if we're willing to fail, what does that mean? That means we've humbled ourselves before the Lord. We said, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. And I have no say anymore. You have all right. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, starting with Jesus, then will I hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and heal their land. So that's just what's been on my heart this week. Does it mean that we're living in sin? No, not directly, not pointedly. It means that we're needing to draw closer to Him, to pull closer to Him. So any thoughts tonight on the idea of being broken compared to being crushed? Have any of you ever read that scripture before? You know, if the Bible were set in modern day, you reckon who the Pharisees would be? The modern church would look more like the Pharisees today than they would Christ, wouldn't it? And now I believe that's been fulfilled, the taking away from them, from the Old Testament passed on to the New Testament. Matter of fact, I think we're fixing to move on to another dispensation before long. But any thoughts and prayers before we close out tonight?
That scripture reminds me of the scripture that God gave me when we were sons before we should go to Bethlehem. In 2018, it was 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, we are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. For our momentary light affliction, which is still very light at the time, this produces for us an absolute incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen, or what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's in that scripture about treasure and clay jars.
Amen. Amen. The hands of the potter is not the worst place to be. Matter of fact, it's one of the best places we'll ever find ourselves. Anyone else tonight? Yes, Brother Martin?
True submission is hard for us all.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we all struggle
with it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you ask him and you pray about those things, you might not like them.
Mm-hmm.
He'll show you what's holding back from giving it all to you. And I'm not sitting here claiming that I have, because the Lord knows I have. Piece by piece, it makes you begin.
Amen. The change may not be as evident, but sometimes it's more difficult than the ones that are that you can see. You know, any other thoughts tonight? Don't forget. Also, I think Brother Otis said this morning that if you have a request for the budget, that it needs to be in by when?
Next Sunday.
So, anything else before we close out tonight? All right, if you would, stand with us. And I'm going to ask Brother John, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Father,